presented by Amazon.
It's Thursday morning. I'm Olivia Reingold, and this is your Politico Playbook Daily Briefing. Here's a scoop for you. Palm Beach law enforcement is preparing for the possibility that former President Donald Trump could be indicted. That's according to two high-ranking county officials who tell Politico that local law enforcement has been meeting in case Manhattan DA Cy Vance does what rumor says he will: publish a bombshell report pinning down Trump's alleged tax fraud right before the clock strikes 2022 and he retires. One thing that keeps coming up in those Palm Beach police meetings: how to handle an extradition request if Vance's office does indict Trump while he's at Mar-a-Lago. That hypothetical is complicated by an obscure clause in Florida's statute on interstate extradition that gives the state's governor the ability to intervene in an interstate extradition request. That means rising GOP star Governor Ron DeSantis could make his star even bigger by putting the brakes on Vance's theoretical request to investigate whether the former president, quote, ought to be surrendered. Here's the gist of Florida Statute 941.04. When one state asks the governor to surrender someone charged with a crime, he or she has the right to open an investigation into whether that person should be turned over. Politico spoke with the official who could lead that potential investigation, the clerk of the Circuit Court of Palm Beach County, Joe Abruzzo, who told us, quote, "The statute leaves room for interpretation that the governor has the power to order a review and potentially not comply with the extradition notice." One coincidence here is that Abruzzo happens to be a former business partner of Frank Biden, President Joe Biden's younger brother. But Abruzzo says the law is the law and, quote, "the full extent of the law will be followed and carried out appropriately without bias." Another wrench in this scenario: Trump isn't in Florida anymore. He's left the state's potential political protection by heading to Bedminster, New Jersey for the summer. That means if an indictment comes before it's time for him to head back down south, this could all play out very differently. It turns out New Jersey, where he likes to summer at one of his golf clubs, has a similar extradition statute. But it's the same law, different sheriff, because the guy in charge in this instance would be Governor Phil Murphy, a Democrat conveniently up for re-election this fall, who could probably make good use out of that hypothetical photo op. But in the event of an indictment, Trump does have one card. His lawyers could negotiate how his surrender would go down, which could cut local law enforcement out of the picture. An attorney for Trump declined to comment. We gave you a heads up about President Joe Biden's meeting with the Big Four yesterday. That's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Today, we're starting to hear about how that tete-a-tete went down, with Politico's Burgess Everett, Sarah Ferris, and Laura Barrón-López reporting that Republican leaders drew a red line, saying they wouldn't stand for a tax hike to fund an infrastructure package. Biden has proposed a corporate tax increase as a way to pay for popular roads, bridges, and a broadband program.
Hello, everyone.
But at a press briefing after the Oval Office meeting, McConnell said thanks but no thanks to touching Trump's 2017 tax overhaul.
Clearly, Senate Republicans are not interested in revisiting the 2017 tax bill. I think the president and the vice president understand that. Beyond that, we're interested in trying to get an outcome. And I think the first step is obviously to define what infrastructure is, the definition of it. And we, I think, all agreed to work on that together.
You heard that, right? After an hour and a half with the president, congressional leadership is still trying to define what infrastructure means. The $800 billion price tag McConnell has floated could actually accomplish a lot of what Biden has proposed, but only regarding projects like bridges and roads. Meanwhile, the White House has repeatedly scoffed at the GOP's proposal to pay for infrastructure with user fees. There aren't clear specifics around what those user fees would look like, but they essentially would work like this: drivers pay for the roads they use. So things haven't really moved at all. Our bet is that we've got a few more weeks of the bipartisan theater leadership gave us yesterday.
There is certainly a bipartisan desire to get an outcome.
When we talked about infrastructure, I think there's a place that we can find bipartisanship.
I felt optimistic about our ability to pass such a bill.
You know, when I ran, I said I wasn't going to be a Democratic president. I was going to be a president for all Americans.
I'm more optimistic now about being able to do so in a bipartisan way.
What the bottom line here is, we're going to see whether we can reach some consensus on a compromise on moving forward.
But we'll see.
And I don't favor having a top-down dictation.
How do you expect to do that, sir? How do you expect to do that?
Easy. Just snap my fingers. We'll have it.
Mr. President.
After that dies down, we're expecting a massive reconciliation bill that the White House will sell to moderate Democrats as being simply too big to fail. Here's what's happening today in Washington, starting with the White House. The president and VP Kamala Harris will receive the president's daily brief at 10:45 a.m. Then Biden will deliver remarks on the Colonial Pipeline incident at 11:50. At 1:30 p.m., Biden and Harris will meet with Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, and a group of Republican senators, including Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia and Roy Blunt of Missouri. Press Secretary Jen Psaki will brief at 12:30 p.m., and the White House COVID-19 response team will hold a briefing at 4 p.m. Over on Capitol Hill, the Senate is in session. The Judiciary Committee will vote at 10 a.m. on several DOJ and judicial nominations. Democratic Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards will testify before the Energy and Natural Resources Committee at 10 a.m. about offshore energy development. DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas will testify before the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee at 10:15 a.m. about unaccompanied minors at the southern border. The House will meet at noon. U.S. Trade Representative Katherine Tai will testify before the Ways and Means Committee at 10 a.m. on trade policy. Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will join a Voto Latino conference via Zoom at 4:40 p.m., where she'll discuss what Dems are doing to regain support from Latino voters ahead of the 2022 midterms. That's all I've got for you today. For more news on what's breaking in D.C. right now, subscribe to the Playbook newsletter at politico.com/playbook. And don't forget to subscribe to Playbook Deep Dive, coming to your podcast feed every Friday morning. I'm Olivia Rheingold. Thanks. See you first thing tomorrow.
The federal minimum wage has been stuck at $7.25 an hour since 2009. In the same time, food and beverage costs have increased 18%, transportation costs up 16%, housing costs up 23%, and medical costs are up 32%. In 2018, Amazon introduced a starting wage of at least $15 an hour for all U.S. employees. A new independent study found that Amazon's wage increase produced a 4.7% increase in the average hourly wage among other employers in the same market. Learn more at aboutamazon.com/15.